This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Tom Rogers. And our guest today is Ray Beall. He is, I don't want to say an author, but a compilator, maybe both, I guess, would be the appropriate title, because he has put together a book as part of a series that a publisher has come out with on the historical aspects of cities across the country. It's called, briefly, Champagne. It's part of the Images of America series. And Ray Beall is our guest this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Now, this is part of an overall series where there are books similar to this, pictorial histories across the country. How did you get involved with this publishing house, Arcadia Publishing, and put together a book on the history of Champaign?
Well, over the years, I've done many books, both authored and done photographs for books on a variety of subjects, including a pictorial history of Champaign some years ago, and then a year later, another pictorial history of Urbana. Both those books have long been out of print, and so I was approached. I've been asked by people for many years to do a book about Champaign and another book about Champaign, and the publisher, Arcadia Press, has been approached me several times to do that. And so finally, I had a little time in my schedule, and I decided to go ahead and do this book, which was a lot of fun to do. It's very similar to the previous books, but it's more of a sampler of photographs of early Champaign, from early Champaign years to the present.
And it follows chronologically the history of Champaign, starting in which year again?
Well, the 1850s, right. Officially 1830s, people were settling here, but it was mostly in Urbana. By the 1850s, the railroad was coming through pretty much where the tracks are today, and West Urbana was started kind of informally. It wasn't incorporated, and then by 1857, it incorporated itself as West Urbana, and then around 1860, it became officially Champaign. They changed the name.
That always catches people off guard, people who just come into the town. They don't realize that the largest city in the area was sort of, I don't want to say an afterthought, but sort of an adjunct to Urbana, the second largest.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole history was formed by the railroad coming through, and the railroad deciding just to go a couple miles west of Urbana. So at one time, there was some debate whether there should be one city here, just Urbana. And but the people who settled in West Urbana that became Champaign decided to start their own community. And it's become a very vibrant and dynamic community since then. And I wanted to capture that flavor, that atmosphere in the book a little bit.
What kinds of pictures do we find in the book, and where do they come from? There are vast resources, I guess, in the libraries, but you have was your task to pick them all and pick the ones that you thought offer that brilliant, vibrant picture.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in this community to have the archives at the Urbana Free Library. So I looked at their collection. They have thousands and thousands of vintage photographs, historical photographs. They also house the photo collection for the Champaign County Historical Society. So over the years, we've had a lot of people in the community who've been very interested in preserving the history, including the visual history of the community. So I was allowed to use the photographs that they had there. They had a scanner, and actually, very hands-on project. I scanned all these images myself.
Wow.
Assembled them. I knew a lot of the history having done the previous book, so I could match photographs with captions and appropriate information. So I decided to just assemble them. You mentioned earlier doing it chronologically. I also wanted to emphasize not just the buildings and so forth in the history, but the people. I'm particularly interested in social and cultural history, how people live their everyday lives. So some historians become fascinated with dates and wars and conflicts and so forth. And I do talk about the wars and how, but it's more how they affected people's everyday lives here.
So this book isn't just a compilation of picture or building pictures that give you a sense of place, but also some of the people who lived in those areas as well.
Yeah, and the people who lived in those buildings too, how they lived on the street. So we have all kinds of pictures. If we have a school, we try to have the interior of the classroom, the kids in the school. If we have businesses, we'd like to see people shopping those businesses, because I think people are most interested in how, their ancestors actually lived their daily lives.
How did your first book merge into your second book? How did you make this different from the previous Pickerel history of Champagne?
Yeah. Well, the first book was a large format, kind of a coffee table book. And so even that book was kind of hard to do a visual history of Champagne within the context of a couple hundred pages. So this book had to be kind of downsized version. So it's a little less, it's a little more inexpensive book on one hand, but it became more of a sampler. So you could just kind of sample a little history chronologically from the 1850s up to probably the 1960s is where we kind of fade out with the book.
And these are all small paperback books as opposed to the larger hardbound kinds that Pickerel mm-hmm. histories often are.
Yeah, so it's a handy book. It's reasonably priced. It's something that they do a nice job printing, so the production values are good. There's a nice little picture, if I may say so, on the cover of, I talked about how people live their everyday lives. It's a little ice cream wagon from probably the late 1800s, mm-hmm. and ice cream cones back then were 5 cents each, which is a pretty reasonable price. And there are three children there ordering it, and it's sort of like the ice cream trucks that still go around today, and I remember from my childhood, but that was you can imagine kids 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, stopping by to get some ice cream from a horse-drawn wagon.
And this is a horse-drawn wagon here and the big buggy wheels as opposed to the smaller ones. But, the kids, even with the clothing, look pretty close to kids today.
Yeah, some things never change, I don't think.
What was the most surprising picture you may have found in your decision to distill all of the pictures that are out there into this particular book? Did you run across anything new from the last time you did the book?
Well, not that many original images. The things that surprised me or amazed me were the richness of the photo heritage here. There's so many really fine photographs of downtown Champaign and Main Street, Neal Street, and so forth, and different historic events here up through, different parades, different businesses that changed there. The World War II, how well it was documented on the home front, how people were helping the cause, how people celebrated after the war. There were just some fantastic photographs there. So I wasn't doing too much as a history detective. Uh-huh. It was just kind of fascinating that there was such a nice collection of images here.
Were there particular eras that were tougher to find pictures from?
Well, you think of photography was invented in the late, about 1839,
of course,
I think.
So before that.
So actually, it was just coming in the photo methods changed a little bit. So when Champagne was really starting to bloom as Western Band at the time, there weren't that many photographs there. So we used a few drawings or illustrations that there were older ones that kind of depicted things like the old Avenue School and so forth, just to give a little sampling again of what the flavor of the time was. Some of the earliest photographs, there was the old Goose Pond Church that was sort of where the police station is now, I believe. And, that's one of the earliest photographs here. There's an early picture of Abraham Lincoln, one of the rare photographs of him.
His story here was that he was photographed here. I guess it was in Urbana.
He was in Urbana, mm-hmm. but it's part of the larger community in one sense. And he did visit not only Urbana, because he was on the circuit as a lawyer, mm-hmm. but he stayed in Champaign. He had friends in Champaign. So that's one thing that's not really surprising or news, but a lot of people don't realize what a frequent visitor Lincoln was to our community.
I guess that highlights the fact that Urbana was the government seat. Champaign became sort of the transportation hub with the railroad and all.
Mm-hmm. And at one time, I don't know if you can verify it or not, there was always this bit of rivalry between Champaign and Urbana.
Always easily verifiable.
Yeah. and it had its roots in those very early days. And at one time, people thought, it's something I learned, I guess it was surprising in terms of fact, was that people in Urbana were afraid that Champaign was growing so quickly that it would want to change the county seat from Urbana to Champaign. And then they changed, they made the name Champaign, which is the name of the county. So there was some worries there. Plus, there was a rumor that Westside Park, which is a very large, sprawling park, unnecessarily large, some people argued because they thought that might end up being the new site for the new Champaign County Courthouse. So there was a lot of, so Urbana rushed and built a larger courthouse just to ensure the fact that, you know, they would have this courthouse there and taxpayers wouldn't want to build a brand new one in Champaign. So there are little stories like that that, you know, to a certain extent, you can verify them a certain time, yeah, but they're actually very, they're interesting anyway.
Like you sort of apply them to today's atmosphere too, I guess. What about, you know, capturing history to, you know, what's happening today? Are we, you know, leaving enough of a legacy, you think, in our history to, you know, for historians in the future to put together pictorial histories of Champaign in the 90s and 2000s? And
well, there's more information out there. I don't know if it's treated as a historical document. Everything's digitized now. All the newspaper photographs are digital photographs, and you have to do a digital archive of those, and how readily can that information be lost. So there's an explosion of images out there. There's an explosion of information, but I don't know to what extent people are archiving it well in libraries and historical societies.
But I'm guessing it's a little bit easier nowadays to find some of the stuff from the past, and a lot of that's being digitized.
Yeah, a lot is. I do a lot of other books. For example, I just did a book recently on Ellis Island, and I wanted to use some historical photographs from New York for a little change of pace. And the New York Public Library, the Historical Society, not only has these historical photographs, but they have digital versions of them. You can search them on the internet and so forth. But they did start out as actual photographs that somebody collected, and then they were digitizing them. So I'm a little worried about photographs that are shot now digitally and how well they're going to be preserved, because people, you know, don't think that much about preservation when they're out taking, snapping pictures.
Fascinating subject. And the book Champaign is fascinating as well, a pictorial history of the city of Champaign. Ray Beal, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
And the book Champaign is part of the Images of America series, and it's available from Arcadia Publishing.